5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
What if this isn't a climate crisis, but the greatest opportunity humanity has had in a long time? Lean Into Clean will explore and discuss with highly esteemed guests on what could be the new spirals for society, sustainability, spirituality, and social harmony. Perhaps we've all lost our way. Lean Into Clean will showcase how we might remember, refocus and restore the natural ways so we can again live in balance and harmony with life on Earth and all its inhabitants. Welcome to this week's Lean Into Clean. I'm Jarvis Smith. This is UK Health Radio. I hope you're all having a happy Monday. You had a great weekend. Well, as you know, we normally start our show with a news piece from My Green Pod because that's where you'll get, you know, the best sustainability news in the UK. But actually, today's guest is going to be the news. He is a founder of an organization very similar to ours. It's an organization called We Don't Have Time. He is the founder and CEO. The gentleman is called Ingmar Renshaug. Now, he's a climate entrepreneur, a change maker. He says, as the founder and CEO of We Don't Have Time, it's the world's largest media platform for climate action. He is mobilizing millions to hold leaders accountable and drive real action. A serial entrepreneur in finance and communication, he's been recognized internationally for his impact. He is a European Climate Pact ambassador, a former think tank chairman, a member of Al Gore's Climate Reality Project. His message is clear: we don't have time, let's act. Now, of course, that rings highly truly to this show's name, Lean Into Clean. We're trying to inspire everybody to just take more responsibility, take more action, and become a solution and not a problem to this issue we now know is an absolute crisis. Ingmar, welcome to this week's Lean Into Clean. Thank you for joining us. Where are you in the world?
Hello, thank you so much. I'm based here in Stockholm at We Don't Have Time's headquarters.
Nice. So you're over in Stockholm. I bet it's pretty cold there. It's definitely cold where we are today in the UK. We had a bit of snow this morning. I'm up in North Yorkshire. Ingmar, tell me, the Sun, I think it was about 4 or 5 years ago when you first started, the Sun called you an actual climate activist or a climate hero. How did that come about? What was the process for that happening?
You have to ask them, but I think it was related to when I actually helped Greta Thunberg to get the world's attention by amplifying what she started here in Sweden many, many years ago.
Right, there we go. That's right. I remember now. So Greta Thunberg, as you all know, is the leading youth climate activist that went every Friday and sat outside our school and striked, refused to go into school because the media and the big or corporations weren't taking this thing we now know as a climate crisis seriously. And Ingmar, you were partly responsible for giving her the bandwidth, the limelight, the recognition. So thank you for doing that because she's become probably one of the most important activists of our time. Why did you do that? What was your incentive? What was your part of the journey?
So we don't have time. We are a global media platform, and our mission is to democratize everything that is happening in the climate space. So when someone are doing something in Stockholm or in another part of the world, we want to get that out to more people so that others can be influenced and do the same and engage. So for us, as any news organization, it's of course interesting to share news. And when we got heard of this new climate school strike, I thought that was kind of interesting to share on our network because it hasn't been done before that children were striking from school. But I have no clue on what that were going to lead to. I also didn't have a clue that it was only one girl that was going to school strike. I got some information beforehand that this was going to be like a group activity with several people. Maybe they were going to have signs and shouting angry, but it was nothing like that. It was just a lonely girl, and it was actually at that moment I thought it was the most lonely girl on the planet. It was so strong to just see one girl having this weight on her shoulder about sounding the alarm about the climate crisis. And I think the timing was very, very, everything is about the timing. So when she did that, the board wanted to have a symbol to talk about this, that we're not a political party, that we're not an NGO, but we're more someone else, a genuine person.
Yeah,
So
beautiful.
that
I
was
mean,
how it started. I think I
what a
was
great
about.
kind of campaign to get behind. Yeah, I mean, I mean, we're not here to talk about Greta, but I think she's probably the single-handedly been the most important influential person in the movement, her and David Attenborough. But of course there were lots of organizations, like yours, like ours. How did We Don't Have Time come about? What was your kind of wake-up moment where you thought, I need to do something and I'm gonna do it with We Don't Have Time? What was your inspiration for that?
Yeah, so my inspiration for that was actually Donald Trump. When he won the first election back in 2016, that were a moment for me where it became so clear to me that our world leaders will not act on the climate crisis. I have been working my whole life in communication. Before I started We Don't Have Time, I was running a quite successful communication consulting firm in finance in the Nordics. So we work with all the big banks like JP Morgan, Deutsche Bank, BlackRock, UBS and Swedish banks, etc., with communication. And I saw a lot of things that were very similar because when you communicate finance, you need to engage people so that they become engaged about their decisions here and now and how that will affect their future savings. The same thing with climate. What you do today will have a huge impact on your future self. And regarding the climate crisis, I mean, we know the problem. We also have most of the solution, but we are kind of clueless on how to communicate this in a more efficient manner. So that's where I saw where something I could contribute with the knowledge I had from the finance industry. So the day after Donald Trump won the US election 8 years ago, I came up with the name We Don't Have Time, and I started to build it, basically.
Nice, nice. Well, you've come a long way. I mean, we're going to talk about some of the
I
amazing
mean,
things.
in one way, we have come a long way. On another way, Donald Trump are now back in the United States, and we haven't come as long way as I wished, if you know what I mean.
It's interesting. I remember that time, being involved in sustainability. I've been in, I think, about 16 years now, but I remember that time, and I remember, him pulling out of the Paris Agreement. And actually, the adversity of that actually put the Paris Agreement on the map, because no one really cared about COPs or the Paris Agreement before that happened. So in all that kind of negativity around Trump, it actually really gave it gave a kind of big broad advert for the Paris Agreement at that particular time. Let's wind forward to now, because Trump's in. The first thing he's
In
done
fact.
amongst lots of things is pull out of the Paris Agreement, talk about how important fossil fuels are for the country, etc. What are your personal views or feelings or sentiments around Donald Trump being back in as perhaps supposedly the global leader or the leader of the First Nation, whatever you want to call it? What do you think about that right now? Are you worried?
I mean, I don't like it because I think that governance should be ruled by people believing in science. But I'm actually less worried now than I was before the US election, because the reason for this is that maybe Donald Trump is exactly what we need. He's really good at communicating that we are in a crisis. He's also really good at engaging the people that are not doing as much to wake up, because he's doing a lot of crazy stuff. So if you're a normal, educated person in business, you understand that this is the time where being passive is not working. Business as usual will not continue. Either you defend freedom, you defend science, or you go silent and do nothing. And more people understand that going silent is not the way we will survive this. So I think Donald Trump is maybe the anti-hero we actually need. But it's also a wake-up call for self-reasoning, to look the whole climate movement in the mirror. I don't think that, I mean, more and more people now realize that being like, saying that the only way forward is being perfect, that will not work.
There's
We
a,
need to
there is no
embrace, we need
perfection,
to
is
embrace.
there?
No, exactly. And I think the climate movement have been kind of bad at this. We have always tried to say that if you don't do 100 things, you're useless. Doesn't matter if you do half right, you need to do everything perfect. And what is perfect, really? So that is kind of a dead end, as I see it. And what we need now see is something else awakening, that is actually listen to what other people thinks and their views, but don't necessarily agree on them. But we need to listen on them. I believe that the reason Donald Trump is back is very much because of the cancel culture. If you see someone you don't like, you just press unfollow. Or you press ban. That's craziness, because they don't go away because you just don't like their opinions. They go away from your feed, from your information, yes, but they don't go away in the world, and they actually have been growing stronger. So what we now got is kind of the cancel culture going from left to far right, but it's still a cancel culture. What Donald Trump are doing, besides leaving the Paris Agreement, I mean, leaving the Paris Agreement, that's cancel in itself. He's doing a lot of other crazy stuff. He's ordering the United States Department of Agriculture to remove everything related to climate change on their websites, in their work. So now, if you're farming in the US, you're not getting information about how the climate change will affect your food production. It's canceling it out. So the people in power now in the US, they are doing the cancel playbook. And it's not something I know for sure. Cancel will not work. I mean, it doesn't matter if you cancel the ones you don't agree with. Or even worse, if you cancel science and fact, it will not work. So I think Donald Trump is both the reason why we're here, because we have tried to cancel everything we don't like. But he's also going to make the right people win, because the engagement from ordinary people that don't want to have a word where we are not allowed to use science, to don't embrace that, are now wakening up and going to stand up for what's right.
Yeah, no, that, well said, well said. I think there'll be a lot of people out there that are listening to you, applauding you, and agreeing with you. Okay, so we talked about we don't have time, but what would you say if you were kind of to nail we don't have time in just a few sentences? What is it? What do people get when you talk about we don't have time?
So we don't have time. We are the world's largest media platform for climate action. Everything that is happening around climate action, companies acting, companies implementing solution, leaders doing the right thing or the wrong thing, everything that is moving things, that is what we on We Don't Have Time are amplifying. And we're not a normal mainstream media. We're not a social media either. We're a combination of those things. So if you are seeing something out there, someone that are acting on the climate, something that you like, you can go to We Don't Have Time and you can give climate love. Or you see that on a symbol here on my background, if you watch this, it's harder to see on radio, but it's a love, green love symbol. You can send that to someone doing something that is good for the climate. And if you see someone doing something that is bad for the climate, you can send climate warning. And what we do on We Don't Have Time is that we engage those people receiving those love and warnings. And they are often responding. So we have had dialogues on our platform with oil CEOs. We have dialogues with Jeff Bezos, with presidents, with big investors that are actually responding to our community's climate warning and climate love to explain themselves. And we believe that dialogue drives things forward. So that is what we have built a platform for.
Nice. So anybody listening, if you've got any bees in your bonnet about organizations, individuals, companies, the way things are done in the world, you can go to We Don't Have Time. You can download the app. There is a website, but I think that most of your multimedia is in the app format, isn't it? I have it. It's fantastic. And then you can either vote on or have your opinions on or actually dictate your own bit of content and then get responses from that. And then the aim of the game is to democratize. It's to get people to either support or go against what's being promoted. And then you will take action in reaching out to organizations or whatever the people want in order to facilitate a conversation or even a movement. I love that. I mean, that's how politics and things should be done, isn't it, these days? Hopefully, we might see that in our lifetime. Let's hope it does. What are the biggest issues at the moment, Ingmar? You've got your finger on the pulse. You're global. You're at all the COP events. You're at all the UN events. You're at Davos. You're everywhere. What are the big issues right now, from your opinion?
I will say the big issue is, of course, the politics, that the political system is moving in the wrong direction, with US taking lead of that, but others are following, and that's very.
Oh, we lost you then. I think we've lost Ingmar. I can't hear him anymore. Apologies for that. There might be a slight error in the system. Let's just see if we can pick you back up.
I'm here. Do
There you
you.
go. You're back. Thank
Yeah,
you. We
sorry.
lost you part sentence.
So what I see as the biggest problem today is the fact that the governance, the politics are moving in the wrong direction, are canceling out climate regulations, are doing things slowing down or even walking in the wrong direction. And that is a time where the problem, the climate crisis, the global heating, are doing the opposite, are increasing. And what is very much making me very worried is the fact that the scientist doesn't know why the global warming is accelerating. They don't have full explanation of that. And what we see now is heat records for every month, and it's just keeping warmer and warmer. And if you look in the sea temperature, it's even crazier. So we have this split reality where we have the global political leadership backing down, and we have, you know, the problem accelerating to something we should actually have like an emergency meeting of. But on other hand, what is also going on, and this is important because in the media debate, you often don't hear about the good news. You hear about what they just told you. But the good news is that the
I tell you what,
need for.
Ingmar, let's not go to the good news. Let's cut to a commercial break. We've talked
Okay.
about the solutions. Let's come back after the commercial break and we'll talk about the good news because I don't want to cram it all into a minute. I really want to open it out and give people, all that lovely hope. So, Ingmar, stay with us. We're just going to cut to commercial break. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Don't go away.
The station that makes you feel good.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. I'm Jarvis Smith. This is Lean Into Clean on UK Health Radio. I'm here with Ingmar, who is the CEO of We Don't Have Time. We've just talked about, well, from Ingmar's perspective, you know, the real kind of issues when it comes to the climate crisis, when it comes to becoming a solution to the issues. We talked about politics and governance. I think we can all relate to that. I think we understand that, you know, yes, we want to make small changes in our lives that, of course, have an impact on our immediate family and situation, our local ecosystem. But on the bigger scale, we need our leaders to step up. We need them to change legislation in order to facilitate the kind of issues that are creating the global warming. And I don't know if you you know this, but there's been this kind of sweet spot of temperature, which has been 1.5 degrees for the last decade. Everybody, all the scientists have been saying that we can't get to this critical point of 1.5 degrees, because if we do, it's unprecedented and we don't know what's going to happen. And so just to give you a spoiler alert, last year was the hottest year on record to date. It was the first year where officially, if the science is correct, of course, which I believe it is, we went to 1.6. So the new target is 2 degrees. And it is already said that we're very, very likely on the current trajectory to go over the 2 degrees. So we're looking at 2.5 to 3, which is insane. I mean, we literally do not know what's going to happen on the planet when we get to those types of temperatures. But the good news is that we've got Ingmar with us, who has been heavily working in this space, just like me, for over a decade. He's working with lots of organizations, brilliant companies that do have solutions. Ingmar, welcome back. Let's talk about these solutions. Let's talk about, what is happening? How can we get involved? And what you see in the foreseeable future if these things, these good things continue?
So what we talked about before were the acceleration of the problem and the breakdown of global governance to fix the problem. That's not a good combination. But what gives me hope is two things. It's actually the engagement from the people and money. Because the green solutions now are starting to become starting to compete with all the fossil fuel solutions and being better, deliver more profit,
More cost
much
effective.
better energy efficiency. If you drive an electric car like I do, it's much more fun to drive it. It's much cheaper to have it. It's just better. So those things, they have been competing with the fossil fuel solutions, but on an unfair level, because we have those crazy amounts of fossil fuel subsidies that are making the fossil fuel energized economy the cheaper alternative, and the other economy, the green economy, and nature-based economy, more expensive. But even if that's the case, the green solutions are now becoming better, and they're becoming better because they are being unfairly being subsidized against, not for, against. Most subsidies are not green subsidies, it's fossil fuel subsidies. And when this is accelerating now, I believe that we're up for a tremendous change where, Donald Trump, for instance, he's going won the US election with one of his slogans, drill, baby, drill. When I was in Davos, I met the Department of Energy, the previous head. She was fired just a couple of days before when Donald Trump won back the power. And she said, US is not going to drill because there is no commercial businesses that wants to invest in drill, baby, drill. I mean, maybe they're going to invest a little bit, but it will not be a major change because the world is not governed by science. That's a problem if we're going to fix the climate crisis. But the world is governed by economy. And if you do the wrong decisions, you will get very fast unpopular. And that is going to happen for the climate itself. There's going to be winners and losers, and the winners will be the businesses, the investors that are moving their money into the solutions. Maybe you can make a lot of bucks by doing the wrong thing short term, but in the long race, the green economy will win because we are up for a shift from fossil fuel-based economy to green economy, and we're not going back. I mean, now in China, half of the cars are electric. Who's going to go back to fossil fuel-based cars? It will just not happen. So it's a race against time. We need to win this economy race before we're hitting dangerous tipping points of heating up the planet. So it's a race, basically. And what this Trump administration trying to do is trying to win that race. But if he's winning it, everyone will lose. If the green economy, on the other hand, will win it, everyone will win. And I believe that when people see this race more clearly, they will. They're going to choose to support the green race, not the destruction race. But it may be so that it's going to happen too late. And I think we need to be very clear on this. It doesn't look good. We have everything we need to solve this problem, but we don't have time. It's in my organization's name. So at the climate meeting we had now in Baku, we actually launched a new campaign that we named Buy More Time. Because what we see at Wheel of Time, we're going to win, we're going to solve the climate crisis, but it's really, really challenging to do it on time. So we need to focus on what we can do to get more time to do everything else. And here's something that is very interesting, that we have focusing on a lot on Wheel of Time lately. And that is actually to look into other greenhouse gases, not the CO2, not carbon dioxide, where you have the second largest reason why the planet are heating up is not carbon dioxide, it's methane. And it's a big difference between methane gases and carbon dioxide. When you release carbon dioxide up in the atmosphere, it stays up there for up more than 1,000 years. That means that once it's up there, you need to suck it back down to get it back in the ground again. And that is very challenging, extremely expensive, and not something we're doing on scale today. We're probably going to need to figure out a way to do it on scale in the future, but it's not happening today, and it doesn't really make sense to focus on that before we have lowered emissions, so we're not increasing the emission everywhere. But methane, on the other hand, it's only living in the atmosphere for average 12 years. So that means that if we are removing methane emission, we're actually removing methane from the atmosphere within 12 years because it's automatically falls down. And this is interesting. If you look into the methane and other similar short-lived climate gases, they're actually representing 0.5 degrees of warming. That means that if we are focusing on really do everything we can to limit emission of methane, we can start cooling the planet with up to 0.5 degrees. That means if we do that we will get more time to do everything else that
Very
we
good.
already are doing.
Yeah.
So this campaign is called Buy More Time, and you can read more about it on wheeloftime.org/buymoretime. What it's all about is to get a lot of get the UN system to do what it did in 1987 in Montreal. We had a big environment crisis when I was a child, and you too. That was we were releasing a lot of dangerous gases in the atmosphere, freons that were killing the ozone layer. And the world community came together in Montreal. It was not all countries. I think it was like 40+ countries or something like that. And it was a lot of businesses as well. And they agreed to phase it out. And today, the phase out are happening, the ozone layer are healing, and all countries on the planet are embracing this Montreal Protocol. So it worked. I believe we can do something similar on methane. I don't think we are able to do it on carbon dioxide because carbon dioxide, not right now at least, because carbon dioxide is so embedded with the fossil fuel economy. You burn oil, you release carbon dioxide, people will resist it. But methane is just a byproduct. You can do everything we do today, but you can just stop the emissions from methane. And methane is not coming from so many places. It's basically waste. When you throw a banana or something, organic waste, it becomes methane if you don't fix it. In Sweden, we have about zero emission from waste because we are converting into to biogas instead, driving our buses on it. That's much better. So every country can do that. It's just some money needed. The technology is there. It's not even new. That's about one third of the methane emission. The other third comes from the fossil fuel industry. And it's basically, the pipes and the extraction, coal mines, etc., are leaking methane. And it seeks technology to, tap the leakage. And in many times, fossil fuel companies can make more money because they don't make profit from leaking a lot of methane into the atmosphere. They can use that then against that. And now there's a satellite, methane satellite, where everyone can see exactly where on the planet those leakages are happening, that will help to tap them. And the last part that is a little bit more challenging, but still possible to really limit, is from agriculture. It basically cows, when they eat, they burp. But you have technology solutions for that as well, where you can give them an additive and you can reduce their emissions with up to 80%. So this is possible. We have the technology, it's cheap, we just need the will. And I think it's more than 100 countries have already pledged to limit emission with 50%. But that is not happening because it's not legally binding. We need a legal binding framework, exactly like we had for the Montreal Protocol. And I believe that we can get the right people on board, because if you're an oil company or an oil state, this is not, I mean, you're not against this. Everyone wants more time. Even Donald Trump, I believe, will like more time to really look into this solution. I have a hard time to see why even him should fight it.
Brilliant, brilliant, absolutely brilliant. I mean, that's certainly an education, I think, for everybody listening. I want to talk a little bit about more about methane and just understand, what each individual person can do. Is it about signing petitions? Is it going to We Don't Have Time? Is it challenging your lobbying, writing letters to your government? We'll come back to that in a minute. But I want to, as you know, I always ask my guests when they come onto the show to bring me a couple of songs that are soundtracks to the life that you live or the work that you do. You've come with some two great songs. We're going to get your first one played now. We'll probably go straight into a commercial break after that, and then we can come back and you can tell me why you sang the song. So tell us the first song you're going to, sorry, the first song we're going to play, should I say. You're not going to sing it, you're going to play it. And then you can tell me why you chose it afterwards. What song are we going to play, Ingmar?
So I would like us to start with the song We Don't Have Time.
Okay, this is your own song, We Don't Have Time. Brilliant. And it's by, if I remember rightly, what's the producer's name or artist's name?
They call it Sustainable Soundtrack, and this is a song that we produced in 2018 because there was hardly no songs on Spotify related to the climate crisis at all. Now
Fantastic.
that's have changed, but back in 2018, this was one of the first song that was actually about the climate crisis.
Yeah, I can relate to that. I had a single out around that time as well called Planet. So I was up there with you in the early stages. So this is We Don't Have Time by the Sustainable Soundtrack. It's from 2018. We'll play this. We'll go to commercial break and I'll see you back here shortly. Have a dance.
The station that makes you feel good.
Five years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to six guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. This is Jarvis Smith. We're on our Lean Into Clean show on UK Health Radio. I'm here with Ingmar from We Don't Have Time, just playing the single We Don't Have Time. It's very anthemic, isn't it? It reminded me of a kind of single that somebody like A.Y. Young would do. It's that kind of, had that kind of vibe about it. But I mean, it's pretty obvious why you chose it. Why did you make the record? I mean, you know, you said at the time in 2018 there weren't many songs, if any, on Spotify, but what were the other reasons for choosing the medium of music to get your message out?
Because I believe that in all you know, cultural movement, changing society, music have been centerpiece, music and culture. And here you have something where people are trying to change the world with climate data and business ideas. That helps, but if we don't get the movement powered by music and culture, I don't think we will get the change we want. So I think music and cultural change is key. And I don't really understand why we don't see more culture and music created around the environment, the earth, the future. Because it should. It's a little bit of a mysterium for me. Maybe it is because of this culture that I started with, that the climate movement has kind of moved towards a perfect solution or a new solution. If you don't know the problem, you have nothing to do here. Mm. If you don't know exactly how to do everything perfectly, you're not good enough. I think that scares away a lot of people working with music, a lot of people working with, like, artists, etc. Because music people, artists, they are not perfect. I mean, no one is perfect, but I think in the culture world, just think of something that you should be perfect before you do. That just, people are just going in the other direction. So this is what I think are going to change now. Partly because of Donald Trump, because he has kind of changed everything, that we can't do things what we did before. We need to try new, different ways of doing it. And perfect is really the enemy of the good.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you're absolutely right. I mean, you only have to look at artists, you know, big artists like Coldplay that have, you know, done something amazing. I think they donated 10% of all of their profits to sustainability and sustainable causes.
Yeah, but, I mean, Coldplay, they are great. They are really trying to do it the best way.
They are.
They're flying, they're limiting their emission from the musical concerts and everything. That's great.
Yeah.
But most people in the music industry, they will not be able to do that.
No,
They will not have the knowledge to do that. So what they do instead is staying silent.
Yeah,
I don't care about if you have a world famous music artist flying in a private jet to have a concert to sing about that we need to stop flying in the private jets, if that is actually moving things. Mm. And I think it do.
You
should not have a hypocrisy. I don't pro hypocrisy, but I'm pro saying that I'm not living perfectly. Mm. I'm not demanding from you living perfectly, but we need to change society and we need to try. So I'm not saying that music artists or people talking about climate should stop trying doing their best, but demanding them to be 100% perfect, that is just counterproductive.
Yeah, I agree. And it is, I mean, it is very surprising. I agree, because I'm a signed recording artist, so music's in my blood. But I do agree that it's surprising that there isn't any really big, you know, soundtracks, big, big hit records that are really talking about the climate. I think we will see it pretty much soon. It's a great travesty. Ingmar, on this note, as we're talking about music, let's get your second song in, because you believe we've got 13 minutes. We're running out of time. These shows go so quickly. I want to get another song in at the end, which is the song I made with Greta Thunberg. We're going to save the world. So we'll play that as well. But let's get your second song in. What's this song called, and who's it by?
Actually, the previous song we had, Greta Thunberg, is actually in it. If you heard that, so she's in that.
Brilliant! We both got songs related to Greta. Fantastic.
Yes, but I will also say that what I believe now is that we need a movement that are inclusive and not maybe not doing exactly what Greta's doing.
I agree.
Something else. Not taking away everything she had done to you know, get people to wake up that we are in a crisis. Anyway, the second song.
Yeah, she opened the door. She opened the door, didn't she? Absolutely. Yeah, go on. Tell us about the second song.
It's actually made and produced and sung by a colleague of mine, Nick Nuttall. He has been working for the United Nations for many, many years before he joined We Don't Have Time. And he's actually the spokesperson for the Paris Agreement. But he had his dream that he wanted to be a music artist. So he is now doing that simultaneously, that he's also working for us as one of our moderators on our broadcast. And this, I think, captures exactly the time we're living in. The name is Just Because Some Bad Wind Blows. And I think it's kind of self-explanatory. Just because everything looks so dark now, don't forget that darkness will end with lightness, and that will come sooner than most people.
Yeah, beautiful. So this is Just Because Some Bad Winds Blow, and it's by Nick Nuttall. And I'll come back to you after this song, Ingmar. Thank you. What a lovely song. I love it. Why did you choose that? I mean, obviously, you know, it's somebody that worked with you and, you know, it's got a message. But what does that song do to you? How do you feel when you hear it?
I must say it captures exactly the moment we are in right now. We have a lot of bad winds blowing, but it will pass and we will see better days. We just need to keep going and don't worry as much. And so this song is a big motivator.
Yeah, nice. I agree. It's a shout out to Nick. Thank you for making that song. You've made a difference in the world. We are coming, you know, to the very, very last few minutes of the show. We're looking at about, you know, 3 or 4 minutes. What's important for our listeners to know about you, the work you're doing, the mission that you're on? What is it? What are your kind of closing few minutes that you'd like to share?
Yes, thanks. And I will actually take those 3 minutes not to talk about myself, but what you can do that are listening to this. What's the most important thing you can do for the future and the climate? And I will say it's a couple of things. Number one, how you spend your time, what you do for a living. If you can go, if you can have a work, if you have the ability to choose, not everyone has that, of course, but if you can choose, spend your time very wisely so that you go to your job every day working on solving the problem, not making it worse. Not everyone can do this, of course, but if you can, do that choice. The other thing, if you have a lot of money or a little money, spend that wisely. Every time you spend your money on what you buy or what you invest in, you're voting. So vote on the solutions. Spend your money to the solutions. If the solutions are more expensive, spend them more seldom. It's super important what you spend your money on, because it creates ripple effects. And lastly, I think with the heavily polarized world we are living in right now, try to speak with people that are not agreeing with you. Try to listen to them. I mean, tell them your opinion. Tell them the facts. But hear them out. Why are they thinking differently? I believe most people, we have common grounds. We just need to tune in and listen to each other. And we need... But it's very uncomfortable to get those conversations going with someone that are not similar to yourself. It can be a colleague, it can be someone in the family. You know, you have those people with different views on the future, voting for something you maybe don't agree on, etc. Hear them out. Listen to them. T- tell them how you feel, what you see, and see if you can explore something. The point with those conversations is not to agree with each other, is to understand each other. And I believe if we do that, if many people do that, the world will be, that those bad winds will stop blowing.
Beautiful. I love that. I love that. Ingmar, thank you so much for joining me on today's show. I know you're a busy guy. We've known each other for a long time. We've done some projects together. I attended the Stockholm 50 conference, which was in Sweden. And I think that was the first time we met. I commend you. We salute you. We thank you for your work. For those that are listening, please do go and check out wedonthavetime.org. Download the app. Get involved. You know, the more information that we can give towards this digital system and it learns to understand that we care about the climate, we care about our future generations, we care about the world we live in, then the way the digital systems work, all the AI information will pick up on the way that we want to live, and we'll be able to create that world for us. So that's how things work. You need to be proactive and do more. Ingmar, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure. And I've got loads of projects I want to talk to you about. We've got a concert happening in COP, at COP 30, that I'd love to get you involved. We've got two concerts happening in Times Square, one for Earth Day, one for Peace Day. So let's you and I get our heads together, get our hearts together, and get our teams together so we can do some more stuff together this year. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely, and thanks for everything you do.
Oh, bless you, bless you. Takes a good one to know a good one, right? We're going to end the show with Save the World by me, yours truly, Jarvis Smith, featuring Rita Mora. And this is the song that we made to help and support Greta's Fridays for Futures movement for MAPA. MAPA is the most affected people and areas, those that really, really need the support. So play this song, get it on your playlist, put it on repeat, play it while you're asleep. Just turn the volume down. The more plays we get, the more money we raise. Here we go. I'll see you next week.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This is Michael Rosenbaum. Hey, folks, let me tell you that drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that will change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober. Or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.